You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Monday! That's funny, I opened up Morning Drip that way today, too. But that's reserved for this show. What am I doing? I don't know. Locked On Wolverines Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group, and I was on the ground at Madison. Third time is a charm for me, because it was my third time being on the sidelines at Camp Randall Stadium, and for the first time, I saw Michigan emerge with a win. And for the first time, I saw the sun in Madison. Every other time I've been is just dreary and awful, and this was, when we arrived in Madison, it was also dreary, but clouds parted, and Michigan did its thing. Nonetheless, I mean, it was... We're just obviously going to talk about the game. I know we're a day removed. I would love to eventually maybe have a recap show, but maybe on Sunday, but certainly not the day of any of these games. That's a little too hard for me to pull off, but nonetheless, I mean, it's hard to not feel excited about the trajectory of Michigan. And now I know there's a lot of people out there that are, and I know that a lot of them aren't necessarily Michigan fans, but they're out there saying, well, Wisconsin's a bad team, and it's, you know, they're 1-3 now. And I mean, I warned you, right? I warned you that that was going to happen. I don't know if it was here on, I think it was on Locked On Wolverines, but if not here, it was certainly on Morning Drip, if you've watched any of that on my YouTube. But it, there was certainly, it's, there's a lot of lose-lose. And I'm sure that a lot of you are accustomed to it in the sense of you've seen it happen over the years. You know, all of these, this game is a big game. It's a must win for Harbaugh. If he doesn't win this game, it's all over with. And then they win it and it's like, oh, well, how good really was that team? And Michigan's just beating up on a bad team. Listen, Michigan manhandled Wisconsin in a way that Wisconsin is very rarely manhandled, right? Especially when you consider like those players that are on that Wisconsin team now, particularly I'm thinking about their offensive line, right? Their offensive line just got absolutely pushed around. And those are some big boys to just get pushed around. I mean, they just got battered. And I don't recall the last time I've seen a Wisconsin offensive line just be that bad. And now, they haven't been quite themselves so far this year, but I haven't been like that. Impressive, impressive showing by the Michigan defense. Really incredible that they were able to go out there and just make Wisconsin's offensive line look like a game against Eastern Michigan, right? And I think in a way you can, I'm not going to say you can say quite the same for the other way, for vice versa, but Michigan's offensive line did a really good job against Wisconsin's front seven. I was saying this on the Morning Drip today. Like they closed ranks very quickly, the front seven for Wisconsin, but Michigan's offensive line opened up a lot of those holes. There were certainly some times where Michigan was running into a brick wall, right? Like they just, there was no way that they were going to make those plays, running plays work. But they stuck with the run, which is important, and it opened up so many opportunities for the pass game. This is not a finished product, and Michigan's the first to tell you that. That this is not, you know, you're not going to look at this game and say, well, if they can just do this for every game this season. This is not the finished product. This is still a work in progress, which is fine, right? 2018 was a work in progress. I mean, I think the only time that I can think of any of these decent Harbaugh Michigan teams where it felt like a finished product out the gates was 2016, because that felt like it right away. this certainly, like, we've seen them run all over teams in the first 3 weeks. Not so much the last two. We've now seen them be, very aggressive passing the ball. Would you like to see a 300-yard game at some point? Absolutely. But, at, you know, I'd love to see something like what you see generally from Ohio State, right, which is like 300-400 yards through the air and 200-300 yards on the ground. But that's not always feasible. You know, you can't always just bludgeon every team you face. And sadly, Ohio State seems like it's getting its house back in order on both sides of the ball. Not to digress there, but at least you feel like Michigan, when Jim Harbaugh said there's two ways to travel, I feel like at least now you're actually seeing that, because they traveled very well through there. And we saw them not be stodgy and stubborn, right? So how many of you out there were super, you know, just like, this is not a good situation because Michigan is, you just know that they're just going to keep doing these dive plays, run through the A-gap and just get stuffed every time. And that they're going to try to do that 60 times and throw the ball at no time, and that you're just going to feel like we could have maybe won that game if the coaching and the play calling and all of that stuff, and that we didn't have to worry about that this week because they were very creative and very aggressive. All those fourth down calls, I didn't like it initially. I liked the first one, but the second one when it didn't convert, I think that's the thing. It's just like any kind of play calling. You love it if it works, you hate it if it doesn't. But hey, the defense was able to stand tall. I'll share with you one nugget. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. Leaving the field, I was walking off with Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator, and I said, I said, I certainly didn't expect this, and he said, We did. So, good stuff all around from Michigan. Anyway, all right. We are going to continue talking about this game, kind of outlook for some of these other things. I didn't do my by the numbers piece that I normally do for Wolverine's Wire, but anyway. So I don't really know everything about Nebraska, except for Nebraska's offense has only gone up against one, like, upper third, or actually really upper half college football defense. Wasn't Michigan State. Michigan State's defense is ranked like 105th or something like that. It was Oklahoma. Alex Grinch's Oklahoma Sooners. And they did not do well against Oklahoma in that light. All right. David Ojabo won co-defensive player of the week by Big Ten. Cool. Just throwing that out there. All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. It offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all of the star players, the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Make your deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks allows mixed sport entries. That means you can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app that you can get on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. PrizePicks is safe, offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download it today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about something that you haven't heard me talk about in a while. Used to have it all the time, but anyway. How does your favorite restaurant consistently make such delicious food? The short answer, they have access to the right kitchen tools. Listen, I love to cook. I don't do it very often anymore, but for a while, that was my identity. People didn't know me as Michigan media guy. They knew me as guy who worked at talent agency in Hollywood and would have people over to make these great meals. So I got to tell you a little bit about Made In. With Made In's professional quality cookware, and kitchenware, anyone is capable of making restaurant-quality food at home. If you are serious about cooking, you should invest in your kitchen tools. And Maiden's cookware and kitchenware products are used by thousands of the world's best chefs. If quality and craftsmanship is important to you, then you should check it out. Maiden produces professional quality cookware for those who love to cook. They source the finest materials and partner with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you without the markup. Maiden products are made to last, and they offer a lifetime guarantee. Their cookware distributes heat evenly and can easily go from the stovetop to the oven. They have 40,000 plus five-star reviews, and their products are used by some of the best chefs at Michelin-starred restaurants around the world. Maiden, better cookware for better meals. So right now, Maiden is offering listeners of Locked On Wolverines 15% off of your next or your first order with the promo code Locked On. It's the best discount available anywhere online for Maiden products. So go to madeincookware.com/lockedon. Use the promo code Locked On for 15% off of your first order. That's madeincookware.com/lockedon. Use promo code Locked On. I clearly cannot speak today at all. It's very sleepy in here. I couldn't wake up today. I kept on trying. I mean, you travel to and from Madison in like a less than 24, you know, or about a little more than 24 hours from, you know, departure from Ann Arbor into, returning to Ann Arbor. But I mean, it's a whirlwind of a trip always. Thankfully Wisconsin's always been a noon game every time that, I've gone there, but, anyway, let's just look at some of the stats for posterity. I don't know how many of you did that already. So Cade McNamara, even though it seemed like he was missing a lot on some of his passes, still completed 61% of his passes for 197 yards. J.J. McCarthy with one pass, which is to Daylon Baldwin for the 56 yards. A passer rating of 900.4. I mean, and then, unfortunately, the first turnover of the season from Alan Bowman coming in as the fourth string quarterback, immediately throwing a pick. Not crazy numbers for Haskins or Corum. Michigan did run the ball 44 times total for 112 yards. It's only 2.5 yards per carry. But you figure that a lot of that was just setting up the pass. And they still had some decent runs. Nothing crazy. Haskins had an 8-yarder. Blake Corum had a 7-yarder. Corum averaged a little bit more, 3.1, but that's all you really needed in this game. And honestly, being able to get to that number is important. Breakout game for Roman Wilson. I actually hadn't even looked at his stats until now, and I didn't even realize how much he had catch the ball until, I watched a highlights package yesterday, and then I went to go through the rest of my pictures, and it's just like I have so many pictures of Roman Wilson, and I just kind of didn't even realize that. 81 yards, six receptions. We're targeted 8 times. So that's pretty great. Couple big plays by Sane Ristill. I think of and Corum. I think of some of those third down plays that they were able to make. Same thing with Luke Schoonmaker. Same thing with Eric All. Really putting it on when they needed it. So, awesome stuff. I think just to look even more at the more impressive deal is Graham Mertz, 53% of his passes. Chase Wolf, 38%. And, I mean, if Graham Mertz had 115 yards, if Michigan would have been able to stop them on that last drive of the first half. I mean, imagine what their passing yards. I mean, they still only passed for 167 yards, rushed for just 43. That's sack adjusted. So you take away 34 yards on tackles for losses and sacks and all of that. But when you consider Isaac Guerrero, who had been averaging 7-some yards per carry, 2 carries for 7 yards. Jalen Berger, 8 carries for 18 yards. Kendrick Pryor is the only one who got anything going on those end arounds, and 2 carries for 17 yards. in the passing game, nothing doing really, you know? It's, I failed to mention, by the way, I failed to mention Cornelius Johnson, who, 2 touchdowns, I mean, obviously, the players of the game obviously have to be Cornelius Johnson and David Ajabo. So, let's look at the other stats real quick. I hope that this is helpful. I don't know what, but 2.5 sacks for David Ajabo, and I mean, I think that he, Daxton Hill, and Aiden Hutchinson just were incredible. Josh Ross too. I mean, Josh Ross was a beast, and it might not have showed up as much on the stat sheet with just 3 tackles, but I mean, he just really, again, he impacted so many of those plays. He was in a lot of them. Same with Nakai Hill-Green. But I mean, this really was the David Ajabo show. 7 tackles, 4 of them were solo, 2.5 sacks. It says 2.5 tackles for loss, but those are the sacks, of course. Forced fumble. Got to give it up for my gym buddy, Joey Velasquez, who, yeah, I see him at the gym in Ann Arbor because he works out both at Schembechler Hall and at the at Schembechler Hall and then also at the gym I go to in Ann Arbor. So you got to give it up to him for getting that fumble recovery. And, I mean, just got to give it up to this Michigan team for just being able to go in hostile territory. Because I'm like, I'm listening to the radio on the drive up, and there's still just so many people that are out there saying, you know, well, you know, Wisconsin's favored for a reason. Vegas knows something that we don't. And, you know, that's, Michigan hasn't won there since 2001. And, you know, and we haven't seen them go on the road. They weren't good against Rutgers. And Michigan goes out there and proves everybody wrong. They dominated that game from start to finish. There was no point in my eyes, really, from after we saw the first drives for both teams. Like, yeah, there was maybe a little bit like, I don't know if Michigan offensively, if it's going to heat up and be able to do this, but they're also, you know, there was also that element where it didn't feel like Wisconsin was ever going to be able to do anything. There was a point when it was 13-3, I said to somebody, because I didn't think that Wisconsin was going to have that last second first half drive in it. I turned to someone and said, I really think that if Michigan could find a way to score here again, even if it's a field goal, if you can make it 16-3, the game's done. Honestly, when it was 20-10 at that point, the game in my eyes was done. Wisconsin was not going to score 2 more times, especially once Mertz was out. All right, anyway, let's continue. Let's finish it out. Not a lot left to talk about with this game. So I'll just share a couple, I had some sideline conversations, and I'll give you a little bit of that. I don't know what I'm doing with my hands if you're watching. I'm just shaking them and doing some kind of weird BS anyway. All right, let's talk about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I have bought dozens of boxes of this using my own money. They've sent me promotional products for me to try to tell you about. And then I'm like, that's amazing. Let's go ahead and take my money, you know, like Fry from Futurama, sticking out wads of cash. Anyway. I usually eat 2 at a time because they're that delicious. Now, Built Bar, it's a protein bar. Tastes like a candy bar, like I said, but it's also high protein, low calorie, low carb. So it's everything you really want. And I can have 2 at a time, and it still works well as a meal replacement because it's still less calories and higher protein than like a Metrix Big 100, which used to be my go-to. And this is 10 times more delicious than one of those. So don't delay. Go to Built Bar. Sorry, go to Built.com. Made it even easier for you. Harder for me. Built.com. Promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order. Built.com. LOCKED15. All right. So we're gonna keep this nice and short, the entire thing, because I feel like this is a very rambly episode for me. But I just want to kind of give a recap of my view of the game. All of that, but we got to get to going to this press conference for this Monday deal, so we're just going to keep it short, and I also don't want to just ramble on for 20 more minutes. So I've had a couple conversations on the sidelines, and one of them confirmed everything I've been telling, and this was a much more higher-level person close to the Michigan side of things, confirmed everything that I was saying, because I had heard it from, like, a lower-level person. It was still a good source. But all the Don Brown stuff, the predictability, play calling, all of that kind of thing. Now a very high level person close to the side, the Michigan side of things, confirmed those things for me. They were very like kind of taking things a little, you know, well, you know, we were maybe not defense, maybe just hadn't been. And then I was like, you mean this? And they're like, yeah, okay, you know. So then they were on like, we were at such a disadvantage the last 3 years. They said it was time to modernize. Got to play modern football these days. So it was nice to at least know like that. This was all very cognizant, like that there was a recognition, and you just hope, you know, why wasn't the change made earlier? Deference, so much deference given to Don Brown. And now you're seeing what it can look like. Michigan's got the number 14 defense in the country right now. That's better than I anticipated, certainly. Granted, it's not like they've played a huge, like a crazy good offense. Best offense they've probably faced is Western Michigan. But still, we'll see how they handle Nebraska this week. Other notable thing, and I tweeted this out during the game, Joel Klatt, who's been here on this podcast. I talked to him. He plans on returning to the podcast sometime before the end of the season, whether it's before Ohio State or another game. He said that we'll find a way to work that out. But he, you know, he's just up and down the sidelines at this game. And he walks up to me at one point and just standing in front of the running backs. And he just looks at Donovan Edwards and then looks at me and says, he's a dude. And I know I tweeted that out and some people were like, well, why isn't Michigan playing him? It's like, well, you want, let him develop, man. Like, he's there. He's getting on the field. It's just maybe not as much as like Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins, who are both doing really good. But nonetheless, I want to end here, especially because I am fumbling all over every single thing I say today, with kind of echoing what he said after the game, and it's kind of the opposite of how I normally treat things. Because he posted a video on YouTube, Joel Klatt did, and he said, Michigan fans, take things week by week. I know you want to take a look at this game and say, what does it mean for, you know, the Ohio State game? Just stop. I'm going to echo that because this is a season where, like I said earlier, this is not a finished product. This is a product that's going to continue to build an identity. And sometimes I don't know that there, in some ways, that there's like a cognizant identity aside from physicality, you know, because the trench play is great, but Michigan's not necessarily going to run all over you every game. They're not necessarily going to pass all over you every game, but they might find one way or another. Will Michigan win in Nebraska? I think so, but I don't know for sure. I do think that they'll beat Northwestern handily. Michigan State's going to be tough. I'm not sure. I give Michigan the edge right now because Michigan State's pass defense is woof. But, and then Penn State is tough at Penn State and then Ohio State. So it's still a lot of season left, but so far, so good. All right, ending this early so that we can get this all wrapped up and what have you. So thank you for watching and or listening. Locked On Wolverines podcast. We'll be back on Tuesday. Should be our pro football focus day. So gonna see who we can get. I don't have that lined up yet, but tomorrow should be our pro football focus day so we can break down the game that much more, that much better. I don't have to talk as much, so I think that's good for all parties involved. So, all right, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.